your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Internet, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you great news from all across the NHL 5 days a week as we continue through the offseason and continue to examine all of our teams and the moves that they are making to improve their teams or to, you know, just tread water, let's say, as we get ready for learning what comes next for hockey as we inch a little closer to any potential start date or news or anything for the 2020-2021 season. On today's show, I've got two guests to walk me through the biggest changes and news on their teams as we get a little further out from free agency and get a little further out into understanding just what those moves are going to mean for our teams. So first up on today's show, I've got Jess Belmosto of the Calgary Flames show, Locked On Flames, to break down the moves that the team has made in the offseason, including the signing of goaltender Jacob Markstrom and their moves in the draft. And then Locked On Predators with our brand new Predators host, Justin Bradford, who is joining the network. He has not quite launched his show yet, but he is coming soon, so you'll get a sneak preview on today's show from the newest member of the Locked On family. That's Justin Bradford, hosting the Locked On Predators show. He gives us his thoughts on the depth moves the Predators have made, if there's a ticking clock for David Poile, and my personal favorite, they drafted one of the players with perhaps the best name in hockey. You'll learn all of that on today's show. So first, let's head to Calgary and Jess of Locked On Flames to learn what is going on with her team as we take a look back at free agency, the draft, and more. We are checking in across the league here on Locked On NHL to see what's going on with some teams that have maybe flown under the radar a little bit, aside from, you know, some big moves in free agency. We've got other teams doing interesting stuff, and today we're going to be talking with Jess Belmosto of the Locked On Flames show, giving us all the details on what is going on in Calgary. And so one of the biggest moves that I feel like caught everyone's attention was the Flames' role in, like, goalie roulette that happened at the beginning of free agency. And so the Flames signed Jacob Markstrom to a pretty big deal, got him from Vancouver when he was not signed there. What does this mean for the Flames going forward in net? Is he finally kind of going to provide the stability that Calgary has been looking for in that position for, it seems like, a little while now?
Definitely. I think that this is a huge upgrade and really sets the tone for the season, because going into free agency, you know, we knew that Cam Talbot was probably going to sign elsewhere, and it didn't make sense for the Flames to re-sign him because, you know, there were better goalies on the market. And if you can snag a Jacob Markstrom, you know, you might as well do it. And it sets the tone and just kind of like having an established starter rather than this 1A and 1B situation that they've had going on for what feels like forever.
Is this something that you kind of thought of as like one of the biggest needs that Calgary had to address in the offseason, whether it was free agency or some other route?
Oh, absolutely. I was hoping that they would do it through free agency because, you know, the only thing you're signing is a check. You're not giving anything up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that trading for, you know, any goalie is just, you're going to have to give up a lot. And the Flames, not that the Flames don't have a lot to give up, but if they want to get better, it's better to just go the free agency route.
Now, speaking of trades, one of the names that has been popping up kind of in the rumor mill for quite some time is Johnny Gaudreau. And he is always someone who's connected with possible trades out of Calgary. If, you know, maybe they're looking to move some pieces out, that he could be one of those. Do you think there's any sort of truth to those rumors? And do you think that it would be a good idea to see what the Flames could get for him?
You know, I think it's always smart to kind of take phone calls and, you know, shop around a little bit. But I don't necessarily think that trading Gaudreau is the answer. I would honestly start with Sean Monahan. And, you know, that stinks because he's obviously, like, you know, pretty good at hockey. But, you know, I think that it's not necessarily the answer if the team is looking to kind of, I don't want to say rebuild, because rebuilding means, you know, you've kind of had a really few bad seasons, but when you're making the playoffs, you're clearly doing something right. But I guess it depends on what the return is, and if Brad Treliving thinks that it's the reasonable and, you know, smart move to go. Just kind of, you know, take phone calls, but don't necessarily say, okay, this is, you know, he's on the chopping block sort of deal.
So it looks like he will probably be sticking around for a little while, at least in Calgary, unless someone blows the team away with a big offer. Looking at the rest of what happened with Calgary in free agency, it seems to me as an outsider that they made a lot of smaller moves, a lot of depth moves, but didn't do anything huge. Do you think that's kind of the right approach? Or were you hoping that they did something a little bigger, splashier, other than signing Jacob Markstrom?
You know, I think it's so hard because, you know, you obviously want the team that you cover to, you know, make moves and do something exciting because it provides for content and, like, you know, all sorts of speculation. But I don't necessarily think that they needed to make any big moves other than goaltending wise, signing Joakim Nordstrom, who is a fantastic penalty killer. It's good. I think that that's really an upgrade, especially in your bottom six. But the issue is now the blue line, because, you know, you're losing TJ Brody, and most certainly and more likely than not, Travis Hamonic. So you kind of have to see what they're going to do there. Are there defensemen that you could maybe trade for, or some others on the market that you could potentially sign?
I feel like, especially with the cap being flat for kind of the foreseeable future, a lot of teams are in very weird situations of maybe wanting to upgrade, but also needing to be conscious of not spending too much to give them the flexibility that they're going to need if, you know, something even bigger does come along in the future.
Definitely. And I feel like this offseason has just kind of been a lot of league minimums. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, I'm more focused on, you know, league-wide things or not, but, you know, somebody like Joakim Nordstrom could easily have made a little bit more than $1 million. So, you know, I think that teams and maybe even players are settling and realizing, you know, the ramifications.
There's more coming up right after this, but first let's talk about Built Bar. Because if you have not heard the good news already, if you have not jumped on the Built Bar train, first off, what are you waiting for? Second off, if you already know, you know, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is even more delicious than before. The new and improved Built Bar has 6 great new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp, and more. If you don't know what Built Bar is, they are great for you. They are healthy. They are full of protein and fiber, and so you are eating a delicious snack that's covered in 100% chocolate while still eating something that is good for your body. So if you are health conscious but also want something tasty, that is what Built Bar is there to do for you. You can go right now to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So I think some guys are just like, well, I want to play, and this is all I've got, so we'll take it. We will wrap up with one quick question asking about the draft, because I think everyone is now getting excited about digging into their prospects, especially now that seasons have started over in Europe. We're starting to get a lot of a picture of what many young players are up to over there, and already getting to see whether teams, you know, swung and hit and missed on their picks in the draft. What is your grade essentially for the Calgary Flames in their draft, and who in their new draft class are you most excited about?
You know, I think that they they hit the mark. I would say a B, B plus, I guess. I am really looking forward to seeing Connor Zari, and I think that he, I don't know, I haven't really watched much of his gameplay, but, you know, the stats that I've seen and things like that, he seems to be just one of those guys to kind of keep your eye on and kind of keep your fingers and toes crossed that development trends upwards.
And is there anyone you're really looking forward to seeing kind of take the next step up next season? Someone who maybe could finally break through to the NHL or really take the next step in their development to see what they've gotten to be like, ah, yeah, this guy, he's going to be a future, you know, fixture on our team.
Definitely. I think Oliver Shillington is just, he is just one of those guys that you kind of root for because he has the potential to be in the NHL, but those small sparks of NHL roster worthy moments are, you know, kind of few and far between. So it just, you kind of hope that they're using the, you know, kind of more downtime to really focus on that and make an impact.
Yeah, I feel like for a lot of teams, we could see some surprises on opening night because of the amount of time people are having to train, to work on any issues in their game. So many of these young guys are heading over to Europe right now just to play in, you know, preseason games or practice with teams. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting situation to see who comes out of the gate hot at the beginning of next season, whenever that happens.
Yeah, you know, you kind of just hope that everybody's using their time wisely, and it's just, you want to have a positive outlook on everything. And I really, really hope that, you know, everybody around the league is just being smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. it's the least we can ask for. So yeah. Fingers crossed, I think on that one. Thank you so much for jumping on the show today to give us kind of the overview of what is going on with the Calgary Flames. I certainly know a bunch of Vancouver fans are going to be watching a little wistfully as they watch Jacob Markstrom take over the net for Calgary. Mm-hmm. For people who want to follow along with you and with the show, for Vancouver fans who want to know what their boy is up to, where can they find you and Locked On Flames on the internet?
Sure. So thank you. First, thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it. You can follow the show at LO_Flames on Twitter. And you can find me at Jessica Belmosto on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And we'll keep an eye on what's happening with Calgary.
Great. Thank you so much.
Today, we're going to check in on the Nashville Predators with our newest host on the network, Justin Bradford, who is the new Predators guy here at Locked On. So I've got him right now on today's show to give us the scoop on what's up with his team. So welcome, first off. Glad you're able to join the network and be part of this show. Just kind of introduce yourself to our listeners to let them know kind of where you're coming from, what your other hockey world is like, and just sort of what's the deal with you?
Sure thing. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here and excited to be joining the network here. I've been a credentialed media member for the Nashville Predators now for 8 seasons. So it's been a while doing that, covering them from the press box. So I've covered the Predators, covered NCAA hockey with the University of Alabama in Huntsville, covered plenty of junior hockey, high school hockey here in Nashville. Also the commissioner of the Southeastern Collegiate Hockey Conference. It's a club, the college hockey conference. We have 16 teams in it. The author of The Making of Smashville, which is the first history book on the Nashville Predators, and currently have a weekly radio show on ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville, discussing all things hockey in the Music City. So just a deep dive into hockey and the hockey world, and just always excited to talk about it.
Well, that is awesome. And we are super glad and lucky to have you here on the show. Let's turn to the Predators and what they have been doing recently in free agency. It looks like, to me, an outsider who doesn't really look too much at the Predators, trying to keep busy with my own team's moves or lack thereof, it looks sort of like the moves the Predators have made have been sort of depth moves. You know, they're not swinging through the fences right now with a big star or anything. Do you think this is sort of the right approach for Nashville? Do you think that these depth pieces are what have been missing for the team?
Yeah, it's been interesting because before going into the offseason, mode. David Poile said there were going to be changes, and I think everybody expected changes. This team has, for the most part, been together for 3 years, and because after their Stanley Cup final run, the team got together, and as players, they went to David Poile and said, we would like to see what this team is made of and keep them together, and so they did. And so the next year, they made a run, and they won the President's Trophy, but then they lost in the second round, and then the next year, they lost to Dallas in the first round. And so this year they lost in the qualifiers to Arizona. And so it's been a downhill trend ever since they made that run to the Stanley Cup final. And so it's time for changes to be made, and changes had to be made. You always have to refresh the team. And so we were expecting changes, and we're expecting a few trades to happen and some players that we were used to seeing to move on or to be traded away. And we saw that. We saw exactly that happen. Nothing was really a blockbuster move, but you could tell the depth moves they made were to add a little bit more grit, which had been kind of missing from this lineup, to be more difficult to play against, is what David Poile was saying and what a lot of fans are wanting. So on the third pairing, that's why they signed Mark Borowiecki and then Benning as well from Edmonton. So the third pairing has really been shored up a lot, and I think that's what's been kind of missing from this team. Granted, that is definitely depth. It's not changing the top four. It's not guys that are going to play 20 minutes a game, but it's making the team more difficult to play against. And then they made that trade with Nick Bonino, who has a year left in his contract, and brought in a much younger version with Luke Cunningham. And then you have Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson. And so those ads kind of were very much depth, so bottom six moves for this team. But at least with the Richardson move, it shores up the penalty kill, which you lost with Nick Bonino going away. You get a little bit younger with Cousins and Cunning. So there's still those moves that have been made there, but one missing piece, which is a top six winger. And they still really don't have that. They don't have what they really need to make Matt Duchene successful, especially when you have Mikael Granlund leaving. You have Craig Smith gone as well. So you don't have those things that he needs to be successful on the second line. The first line is still going to be fine. But yeah, like you said, it's depth moves. There's still one missing piece. And it's kind of been that way for the Predators for a long time, of that one missing piece. So I still think they have a lot of cap room left. There could be a move made, but David Poile did not indicate anything like that. So we'll have to wait and see what the Predators do. I still think they're a playoff team, but it's more of a wild card team right now. They're nowhere near competing with the tops of the division. And that's one of those things that they might just have to accept and be the team that makes the playoffs and tries to find something special once they make it.
More hockey talk coming up next. Make sure you are following not only this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods, but also that you're following along with your own favorite Locked On hosts and shows. You can search basically for any of our shows on Twitter by typing in Locked On, whatever the team name is, and you'll find it, and make sure you give it a follow so you never miss an episode, you never miss an update about your team. Now that we are in the off season for real for all of our teams, we're getting a lot of great content from our hosts across the network on social media, all about their prospects and any other news that is going on with their teams. So if you aren't already, make sure you go and follow your favorite Locked On NHL team show on social media to never miss a single thing.
I think that David Poile is kind of an interesting person to look at as a GM, because he is, I don't know the research off the top of my head, but has to be, if not the longest, like one of the longest tenured people in his position in hockey. And I think to a lot of outsiders or people who are used to seeing their own teams kind of blow things up every handful of years, seeing someone in that position whenever the team hasn't, you know, won that championship, it seems like he gets a ton of goodwill from the team, from the ownership, from the fan base to continue in his position, to continue to build this team. Do you think that he, do you think that's a fair assessment, that he is just kind of going to be able to do whatever he thinks is best for the Predators? Or do you think that somewhere there is a clock ticking of eventually it is going to run out?
I think it's more there's a clock ticking. And the way I can tell is a clock ticking is that, yes, he's been given plenty of leeway with ownership, but the fans are starting to revolt a little bit. And it's the kind of thing where we haven't seen it as much in the past, where they've been, okay, well, let's just see what he does. Let's see what he does. Let's see what the moves are that he makes. We trust in David Poile. Lately, it's been a lot more negative feedback on social media. And it's understandable, because they got a taste of victory. They got a taste of what it's like to have a team that's trying to make a run for the cup, to have their window completely open. And now They sense the window is closing and they want more. And that's understandable, because once you give those fans a taste of something more than just, oh, it's great, we made the playoffs, let's hope we do well, but hey, we made the playoffs, we need to win. Once you tease a fan base with that, the expectations rise. So the expectations are up there. David Poyle's also getting a little bit older too, so I would say he's probably nearing retirement age as well. And then you have the player, you have the people underneath him, which is Jeff Kelty and Brian Poyle, and even Scott Nickel, who's the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, the affiliate for the Nashville Predators, all kind of waiting in the wings, and they're all part of Poyle's team. So the change probably wouldn't be as drastic, even if they changed personnel from David Poyle. So it's going to be interesting to see the next 2 to 3 years what happens. He has been given plenty of trust and leeway from the ownership. And I mean, just like any general manager, he has some moves that have been really good. He has some moves that are poop, and you go from there. And I mean, he still kind of relies on the Forsberg trade a lot, which was a great trade that he made. And there's been some other moves that have been questionable. And there's always going to be moves that are questionable by general managers just trying to make this team win. And then potentially there might be an internal budget they're working with right now with the pandemic. They have plenty of cap space, but they chose not to work with that. They said they wanted wiggle room. And I completely get that. If you think that your team is competitive by midseason and you think, hey, maybe they can make a trade and utilize that cap space because they feel like, oh, this team is actually gelling. Let's add that one more piece with the cap space we have. But right now, I think there's a little bit of, we need to play it safe a little bit. We made some changes and see if they're playing more of that blue collar, old style Predators hockey and see what they can be competitive with. And so I've liked those. I've liked the moves of the coaching staff, if anything, and bringing in Dan Hino and Todd Richards. Those are some good moves made in terms of adding a player's coach to the mix in Dan Hino. And then with Richards, his experience just coming from Tampa Bay and winning a Stanley Cup, been there for 4 years. He was a head coach with Columbus. He was also a coach with the Milwaukee Admirals and won a Calder Cup with them, so it was a Nashville connection. So bringing that type of experience, I think, is good. So I think the coaching staff really looks solid going into this season to where they have a way that they can work with these players, and that's thanks to David Poyle of bringing in the coaching staff. So very curious to see what happens in the next 2 to 3 years and what this team's able to accomplish. But I think if they can make a little bit of a run, that adds them a little bit more time.
And then one last thing before we wrap up, kind of looking into the future picture of the Predators, one of the biggest splashes that they made was in the draft in selecting, by all accounts, someone who is going to be very successful in the NHL, which is Yaroslav Askarov, to be potentially the goaltender of the future for the Predators. And I know a lot of teams who were a couple picks after the Predators in the draft were real disappointed that you guys went with a goalie. Is this what you expected? Was it one of those picks where, you know, he's available, you have the pick, you know, why not take him? Or was needing a goaltender of the future something kind of that was in the cards, let's say, for the Predators?
Well, it was very interesting because David Poyle, I asked him about that in his post-draft press conference, and he said that they wanted him. That was the player that they wanted, and it was the shock to them that he was available when he was, and that they were receiving calls asking to move back because other teams wanted to draft him. So it's very curious there that he said that was the number one on the board. And so once everything started to fall into place, I think once certain players started to go, even the fan base was going, oh, wow, the Preds are going to pick a goaltender. It's going to happen. This is really going to happen. Thinking that Askarov would go a little bit sooner, but he didn't. Especially a potential franchise goaltender like that who has the names like Brodeur and Wall have been thrown around. And you don't have those names thrown around too much about a young goaltender, but that's been thrown around with Askarov. And so once it became known that they were going to get him, and they did, I don't want to say I began to accept it. It was one of those things that threw me off a little bit because I didn't think they were going to go that route because they've said that they were pretty confident in Yusuf Saros and even Connor Ingram. But when a player like that, that's a franchise goaltender, falls into your lap, you have to take that risk. And the Predators haven't been the best at picking first-round goaltenders or early-round goaltenders. Their good picks with goaltending have been late in the draft, and Pecorini was an eighth-round draft, and that doesn't even exist anymore. So it's very curious to see what's going to happen there, but I think it's good for the system because it challenges the goaltenders already in the system. It sets you up to hopefully have some good depth there that you can build from the crease out, and it means you don't have to focus on that position for a while either, because Saros and Ingram, probably for the next few years after Pecorini retires, most likely following this season, are going to be the ones competing for that spot in the net. They have a goaltender in college, UConn. They have another one. They have a couple more in Europe as well in the system, but none have showed that promise of being the future number one. And plus with the age difference between Saros, Ingram, and Askarov, it shows there's probably going to be a few years different. So it gives you that open window of, hey, we have our goaltender for the future. We have it right now for the next few years. We know it potentially will be Saros and Ingram for 3 to 4 years. Askarov will come over, and maybe Askarov comes over in 2 years and he plays completely lights out. Or maybe he needs 3 to 4 years, which is totally acceptable for a goaltender. It takes time for them to season. They just know they have something very special over there. And what's kind of cool, too, is that he's playing on a team in the KHL where there's been some Predators players playing over there. Yakov Trenin has been playing on the same team in there. So it just helps a little bit to have some familiarity with them so they can get some reports, I'm sure. And I'm sure they're going to be keeping a close eye on his development. But it was one of those things that even the fans, there's a full mixed bag of fan reaction with the Askarov pick. I think most people have come to accept it after they've heard multiple national experts and prospect experts talking about how good he is. It's just that they know this team needs some scoring and some depth in terms of prospects and scoring, and they didn't get that right off the bat. And I think it's still on the educating fans of, hey, the pick, even in the first round, even when you're in the top 15, you're not going to get immediate reaction. You're not going to get an immediate help. It's still 1 to 2 years down the road. And it's still one of those, they want instant gratification, and you don't get that unless you're in the top five, as we all know, really, for the most part. So there's a little bit of disappointment, but I think they'll come around to that even more once they see how special Askarov can be. And know that if he plays 7 to 10 years with the Predators, then it totally works out and it makes it totally worthwhile. So curious to see what goes on with Askarov. But overall, I like the pick after sitting on it and letting it digest a little bit, because if he's a future number one that can play that long and you're able to knock it out of the park with him, then you can focus on other positions and hopefully be successful from there.
Well, it is a interesting pick, an interesting thing to see develop for the Predators. By the way, you guys drafted one of my favorite USHL players and one of the best names in hockey, Gunnar Wolf-Fontaine from the Chicago Steel. They're my local USHL team, and he's someone who I have personally been watching to see where he would end up. And good to know that he will be in good hands in the Nashville system. And you've got a kid with a lot of spunk and also just a real cool name.
He was the one when he was picked, everyone reacted with, well, there goes the coolest name in the organization right there. And his scouting report even asking him about that too, where it's, you've been related to playing the style of Brad Marchand. And he was like, yeah, my mom told me when I was young, if you want to be successful, play like a rat. So I play like a rat. I went, okay, well, I think the fans will like you then, if you're able to make it to the bigs and play that style of hockey where you can be a menace and get under player skin, but still be able to produce offensively. That's exactly what this team needs. So we'll see in a few years what happens. Either way, I hope some fans go for his first name on the jersey instead of the back, because that is the best name in hockey, no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for jumping on the show today, for talking Predators and giving us a little glimpse of the future for what's going to be happening down in Nashville as some of their prospects age up eventually and hit the NHL. For people who want to find you, our newest Locked On host, and who want to find your show, where can they do all that?
Yeah, sure. So on Twitter is probably going to be the best way to find me, and that's going to be at Justin B. Bradford on Twitter. And then the show will be starting up very, very soon. Just got everything going, and that's Locked On Predators. So it's LO_Predators. And that's how people can find the show on Twitter.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, and looking forward to hearing your show once it debuts. That is it for today's show. Thank you so much to Jess and to Justin for jumping on to break down all the latest and greatest about the Calgary Flames and Nashville Predators. Make sure you're following them on social media, subscribe to their podcasts, even if it's not your team, give them a subscribe anyway. Listen, learn a little something, maybe, you know, do some research on the enemy, but go check them out online. Now that we're done here, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. You can find this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Make sure you're subscribed to this show. We're available wherever podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Leave a rating or a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Tell your friends all about it. So if you've got a hockey fan in your life, make sure they are listening to Locked On NHL, because we're bringing you all sorts of cool stuff about your teams, even in the offseason. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.